You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com. I'm here with Richard Justice, also from MLB.com. And Richard, when you look at the Colorado Rockies, when you look at the coverage every day, the people that are, the beat writers, it's mainly just injury updates. It is a decimated team because of injuries, and I just saw Justin Morneau is now on the disabled list as a 14th player to be on the DL. So what do you do, Colorado Rockies, heading into the last couple months of the season?
This is where you find out what kind of manager Walter Weiss is. Can he hold it together? Can he keep guys focused? Just come out and give a good professional effort every night. You know, the Red Sox went through this where they were losing everybody. And Johnny Gomes said, you know, the best thing I'm most proud of about this club, we haven't had a guy benched, fined, anything, pulled out of the game for not hustling, for being anything other than professional. We've seen a lot of teams go through it this year. And that's where you have to just carry forward. The Rockies have a chance. You know, I mean, I don't know how they're going to evaluate it, but they have a chance to be decent next year, but they got to try to keep all their guys on the field. So times like this test everybody in the organization. They test ownership, they test the management, and they test all the players. To me, I don't know how you feel about it. Their decision to me is, do you want to shop Troy Tulowitzki? I mean, he's hit over 400 at home, or do you want to just make him part of going forward? I think some of his comments got taken out of context this week. When he was asked, do you want to be traded? He basically said no, but he said, I also don't want to be like Todd Helton, and playing one World Series in 17 years. So they got a lot of big decisions there, but my advice would be, don't do anything. It's not broken. You are not going to lose 10 starting pitchers every year, but we went through it here with the Astros. You find out a lot about people in tough times.
Okay, now joining us to talk about the Colorado Rockies is the MLB.com beat reporter, Thomas Harding. Thomas, how you doing?
I feel good. I feel clean. It's a beautiful hot day here in Denver.
Awesome. Well, I think that we need to sort of start. It's an interesting dynamic that I don't know a lot of people know about, just how the Rockies all shake out at the top. So you've got Bill Guyvette, who's a senior VP of Major League Operations. So he's basically, is he more in charge of like the major league happening than the general manager Dan O'Dowd?
Well, it is a different type of dynamic here, and one of the explanations that was given when they went to this and also during the offseason is that Guyvette is in charge of that major league roster during the regular season, but Dan O'Dowd, the chief baseball officer, formerly the GM, he's more in charge of the roster during the offseason. So there, it is a little bit different dynamic. Guyvette is in the clubhouse with the club every single game at home and on the road. And O'Dowd really spends a lot of his time trying to correct the issues with the development system and see if they can't innovate in some ways and find ways to get better players in the major leagues.
Interesting. So then the manager, Walt Weiss, he deals more with Guyvette than he would with O'Dowd at this point.
Yeah, correct. And they quite often meet after games, maybe even before games. So that is the way it works here. And obviously, if you look at the way that teams are run across baseball, there are a whole lot of different ways to do this. But if you look at the Rockies' record, you'd have to say that this way isn't working right now.
Right. And that might be something that they address, maybe after the season. But at this point, they really have to just get through the next 2+ months. And do you just marvel at, I mean, when you're covering the team on a regular basis every day, I mean, do you go into the clubhouse thinking, well, I'm just going to be doing a bunch of injury reports at this point, so I'm going to be asking 17 different guys to give me updates on, what's ailing them. Justin Morneau just went on the DL. He's the 14th different player, I guess, this season. Is that kind of what your day is now?
Yeah, I'm thinking actually in the off season of going back and getting a medical degree, because that's pretty much the only way to cover this team, it seems. And some of the injuries are odd. I mean, you had the benign tumor that I think I described, or the trainer described, as a fatty mass with tentacles that was removed from Carlos Gonzalez's finger. And for the first time in my baseball writing career, I got to write diverticulitis in a tweet last night. I mean, the injuries are strange. You've had two pitchers who've broken their non-throwing hands. You had a pitcher break his index finger on his throwing hand. basically hitting a pitch off the end of the bat. It's not only that there are a lot of injuries, there are injuries in a lot of them, but they tend to be strange here too.
Yeah, that's very odd. Now, clear something up for me. With choices, as a trade deadline comes up, so I'm sort of looking through all the teams and, you know, who could be up for trades. And, of course, Troy Tulowitzki's name has come up a lot because, obviously, there would be a lot of interest in him. But explain this to me. He has this monster contract. Is there a market for him because of the money that he has coming in the years that he has on that contract? What is the deal with that?
I think there would be. I know that the Cardinals talked about it but during the off season, but, you know, they didn't come up with the deal. The question is, you know, how much would the Rockies be willing to eat? How much how much would Tulowitzki try to force a trade? And also, how much would the other team try to give up? I mean, they do call the Rockies, and I'm sure they say, you know, this is a wonderful shortstop, but he has had an injury history. Let's give you a little less. Or this is a guy, hey, we have these prospects in our hands. How much of this contract are you going to pay in return? From talking to Tulowitzki, I don't expect anything to happen during this trade deadline. I really don't. I can't imagine a team in the throes of a playoff run will give up as much as it would take to get him from the Rockies.
So, I mean, when you look at Tulowitzki, obviously this is his team, and he's a product of this organization, and he's got $118 million coming to him before he's 38 years old. But I would imagine that if he sees that the Rockies are breaking it down or, you know, having to rebuild or whatever, or just years away from contending, I would think that deep down he wouldn't mind maybe going to a different team and having a chance to get into playoffs or win a World Series or whatever. But there's a slippery slope there because you don't really want to come out and say that, because I think that from what I've been reading, the fan base is already a little restless. So I would imagine that when people ask him about this, it's hard to really answer that question. Like, would you be open to a trade? I mean, what's he really supposed to say?
Well, I'll tell you, he's been very good about answering that question, and I thought that his dealings with the media during the All-Star weekend were the best I've seen in his career, because he answered them as honestly as he possibly could. He basically said, I want to win. I'd like to win here. I'm signed for a long time. He realizes that contract is a factor in this. He can't just walk in and say, get me out of here and expect a trade to happen. But he does want some sort of assurances that the Rockies are building and not tearing down. I mean, if you trade him, you are tearing down. The other question is, what if you trade other guys? What are you doing when you do it? The name of Jorge De La Rosa has come up in some trade discussions. I know the Baltimore Orioles have been very interested. But if you trade him, he's a guy who's pitched better than almost anybody else that's come in from the outside to this organization. Are you saying that we're not going to win next year and we're going to just build with a bunch of prospects? If that's the case, then you could imagine a Tulowitzki asking out, can you make the right trade? In other words, get some guys that are at the big league level or at least close to it, and then make other moves to build your roster. And that way Tulowitzki and everyone could look and say, hey, this team has a future next season because we're making the right moves. So even after the season, when he does sit down with his family, when he sits down with the Rockies leaders, whoever they may be, whether it's the owner, whether it's the chief baseball officer or the senior director of Major League Operations, I think those are some questions to ask, but I'm not sure that you can get those answers until after the winter meetings when they start making moves to build the roster.
And, of course, Carlos Gonzalez is the other one that we haven't talked about, but owed $53 million starting next year up till 2017. So, what's that? I'm assuming that they would prefer to hold on to him. Have you ever gotten any overtures from him as to what he wants?
As far as he is concerned, he'd like to stay, but as he's pointed out, he's been traded before because the Diamondbacks had him originally, traded him to the Athletics, and then the Athletics traded him here. So there isn't that same emotional feel that maybe a Tulowitzki would have. As far as that goes, there's money left in that contract, and really, when you look at the talent of the player, it's a very club-friendly contract. However, the hand injuries of the last 2 years drop his value some. So the question would be, is the team going to pay full value believing that those hand injuries were just freak accidents, or do they think that this is an injury-prone player and they don't give up what it takes to get him?
Well, now going to a totally opposite side, I want to end this on a happy note. And so with all of these injuries, and on the other end of the spectrum, we have your closer, LaTroy Hawkins, the ageless wonder. In 2000, I used to cover the Houston Astros, as you might remember. And in 2008, Ed Wade traded for LaTroy, who had just been dumped, basically dumped, by the Yankees. And he was sitting at home wondering what was next. And Ed Wade called him and said, I want you to come to the Astros. So you're thinking, well, this is a nice kind of way to cap his career. And maybe he'll have a couple years left and then he'll be done. And that was what, 6 years ago. Yeah, I just wrote a column about him, and it's so true. I mean, he takes impeccably good care of himself. And he is 41, I think, 41 years old. What is the secret to LaTroy Hawkins?
I'll tell you what. I remember talking to him some time ago because he's never had an arm injury. I mean, we're talking about the Tommy John epidemic and guys having these labrum issues and the shoulder issues. He has never had an arm injury, and he's not exactly sure why. He works hard. When he was signed out of high school, they were able to clean up some things with his motion. He stuck with that. He says genetics have something to do with it. It is amazing how well he's still doing. And not only that, but as the weather gets hotter, he throws the ball harder. There's more break on his slider. He becomes a better pitcher. If you look at the last few years, really, even last year with the Mets, he was coming off of an injury. But what happened as you got into July and August, his effectiveness went way up, and he was a dependable closer for them. I would love to see an opportunity for him to help out a contending team, because right now he's throwing the ball as well as any pitcher in the National League. He's getting the ground balls. He's keeping a low batting average. But he doesn't really have very many leads to work with because of the struggles of the Rockies and their starting pitching and everything else that's going on. So if they're able to get something useful from him, I could see a move happening. I talked to him right at the All-Star break, and he was saying, listen, I believe in the possibility of a miracle run here because he was around in 2007. The more we get removed from that, the more you wonder if some team will come in and say, maybe even if it's not foreclosure, maybe insurance foreclosure, or maybe as a setup guy, they say, hey, LaTroy Hawkins is throwing the ball very well. He tends to go well this time of year. Let's get him.
Yeah, and he's got the mentality. He's got kind of leadership skills, but he does have kind of that mentality. He's not a pushover by any stretch. He's a really nice guy, but he's also got a big chip on his shoulder when he pitches. And you can't really push him around. And so I think that kind of bulldog mentality certainly would work. And he's pitched on so many teams that, and he's got a pretty good reputation. So you would think that somebody may come and grab him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because it's not only that, but the way he works with younger players and guys who maybe don't know what to look for, he is very free with information there. And I'll tell you what, when he finds those younger pitchers who are willing to listen, it's a great relationship because they do pick up a lot from him, and he's more than willing to give at that particular time. I mean, he's not the type, though, that sits there and just bosses other people around and doesn't do the work himself, and that's why he has so much respect for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, Thomas, enjoy your day. I'm not going to keep you any longer, but I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Thomas Harding, MLB.com.